welcome to another episode of The Political Farmer. I'm Jess Wallace, and in the office with me today I have Katie Stokes from PBF, Mike Rowney from PBF, who's a presenter, and Marie Gooch from Safe Farms WA. So on today's episode, we'll be talking about safety in regional communities, which is such an important part of agriculture, especially on farm safety. And today Mike will be telling us about his story, about what happened to him and how safety is so important. But first we'll start off with Katie. Katie, can you tell me a little bit about PBF, who they are and what they do and why they're such an important organisation?
Sure, Jess. Thanks so much for having Mike and I here today. So PBF is a national not-for-profit membership organisation that aims to reduce the incidence and impact of spinal cord injuries across Australia. It was founded back in 1984 by the late Sir George Bedbrook, who was a renowned spinal surgeon. He recognised that there was very little support for his patients in the way of financial assistance, so he decided to do something about it and find a model that would work to be able to provide quick payments for members of a fund. And so PBF offer members 24/7 financial protection in case of having a permanent traumatic spinal cord injury. So that can be at home, on the road, at work, on a holiday, 24/7, which sounds unbelievable. And if it does happen to you, you receive a $250,000 member benefit payment made available through PBF to help with any immediate costs, such as your bills or modifications to your home or your vehicle. It really helps our members be able to focus on recovery and rehabilitation. But from there, we grew to create injury prevention programs as well, trying to reduce the amount of spinal cord injuries happening across Australia. So we've developed a workplace program, a road program, a drug and alcohol program, and an aquatic program, where we're fortunate to be able to employ people that have sustained permanent spinal cord injuries, and they share their personal stories and how that incident has impacted and changed their lives forever, to try to put safety at the forefront of every decision. So it's not just making you think about professional safety, but also personal safety and what you do in everyday life choices. We also have a peer support unit at Fiona Stanley Hospital and the Perth Children's Hospital, where we work with recently injured patients to try to get them to realize that life can and will go on after you have your injury, and to be able to offer any guidance or advice for people that are going to be living as a permanent paraplegic or quadriplegic.
Wow, so it's a very comprehensive organisation that covers off on a lot of financial assistance there for injury sufferers. So with that, how have you been working with Safe Farms, who most WA Farmers members know very, very well in WA, and how are you sort of promoting that in the agricultural world along with Marie?
So I was fortunate to meet Marie back in 2017, and I found out about Safe Farms, and I think the work that they do is really incredible. And we would love to be a part of the workshops that Safe Farms carries out in the regional areas. Marie was kind enough to take the PBF information to Safe Farms WA, and they joined as a corporate member to be able to provide cover to the staff and families of Safe Farms WA. And I'm sure Marie is doing a great job promoting PBF out there. She was a private member beforehand, so knew very well about PBF and was very happy to take the information to Safe Farms. I think that the agricultural community could really benefit from hearing a PBF presentation, and not necessarily someone that's in farming, but just general workplace safety, because there is a barrier of it would never happen to me, or the she'll be right mate attitude, because people have been doing the same thing the same way for many years and can become complacent. So we're really trying to get across to individuals, like individual farmers or corporate organizations in that space, for example, CBH Group, to engage with any of their staff or people in that space to put safety at the front of their mind. Marie, if you want to share your insights about farm safety, that would be great.
Thanks very much. I'll give a little background. Safe Farms began in 1984, started by farmers for farmers, and currently has a board of eight with four farmers on it, which is very good. And of that, there's four of those eight who are women, which three of those are farmers. So Safe Farms aims to support and provide the tools and expertise for farmers to understand more about how to implement safety, health and wellbeing systems. The tools that are provided are either a manual or through workshops. And yes, we look very much forward to having PBF joining us into 2020 as we get more of those happening, and also working potentially with other organisations in the space. So it's really important that people take stock and slow down and consider what is the risk, or what are they putting at risk, and what are the consequences of their actions. And I think Mike's going to speak a little more about attitude as we go along. So thanks very much for the opportunity to join in.
I just think it's such an important aspect to work to talk about, because obviously, we, you know, being a member-based organisation, WA Farmers, we're always in contact with our members, and you know, I hear almost every day of some sort of injury that happens on farm. I mean, it might be a cut hand or something like that, and then occasionally, you know, you do hear of the bigger injuries. So talking about injuries, I'll just ask you, Mike, you've got a very interesting story in how you became involved in PBF. Can you elaborate on your story there?
Yeah, hi. I had a fall in a boatyard in Greece 18 years ago now, and I was over there working as a yacht delivery skipper. It was a dinner party to celebrate the launch of my yacht that I'd just bought and my sort of dream of sailing back to Australia. I had a plan that I'd been working on for about 3 years. I was working off this coast as a longline tuna fisherman, but basically my plan was to go back to Greece, work there for a while, and then sail my boat back to Australia, where I was going to relocate. And from Western Australia, I was going to relocate over to Airlie Beach in the Whitsundays, where I realised that I could continue my career as a yacht delivery skipper, which I'd been doing for many years before. Unfortunately, at about 12 o'clock at night, I was sitting on the side of a very large brigantine schooner. It was a friend's boat that he was running for the Norwegian government. It was on a slipway. So with the height of the jinker and the boat, I would say my fall would have been about 4.5 metres, 5 metres onto concrete. One of my delivery crew had come to speak to me, and I was sitting on the cap rail on the side of the boat with a sheer drop behind me. And when she came over to have a chat to me, when she stood up, she slipped, and I tried to grab her, and we both went over the side. In a matter of seconds, my life went from being a fit and healthy 43-year-old with a dream to becoming paralysed from the waist down. The impact of the injury of the fall, basically I fractured my spine, but I also dislocated my spine, and I took a compound fracture into the back of my skull. The girl that fell with me actually impacted on top of me, so she was okay. She didn't suffer any major injuries, apart from she broke some teeth on my forehead when she impacted on top of me. But yeah, I'd say in seconds, you know, my whole life changed completely. My dream of sailing back to Australia, as I say, this party was to celebrate the launch of my new yacht that I'd purchased. My dream that I'd worked very hard for out at sea fishing as a longliner, and anybody that's done any kind of longline fishing knows it's one of the toughest jobs there is. It's hard physical work. And that came to an end in seconds. And yeah, so the consequence of that was I was operated, they had to medevac me from the island of Rhodes where I fell. They medevac me to Athens by helicopter. They couldn't treat me on the island. They didn't have the facilities. And they operated on me as soon as I got to Athens. They inserted two Harrington rods into my spine. The spinal cord, spinal surgeon realigned my spine and put in two Harrington rods, which I've since had removed. after about 5 weeks, once I stabilised, I was medevac back to Australia. The total cost of that, back in 2001 when I fell in June 2001, back in 2001, it was 52 cents Australian to the American dollar, and I was charged for everything in American dollar. I wasn't insured, that was my own fault. And for example, my spinal, the operation itself cost 30,000 Americans, so double that up. So to medevac me back to Australia cost 38,000 American. I had to get a doctor to fly with me back to Australia. The airline regulations wouldn't allow me to fly without a doctor. Six seats, so two double seats folded down from my stretcher. My girlfriend's cost and extra insurance that gets charged when you do a medevac like that. So a heck of a lot of money went disappearing out of my bank account like a river. I finally got back to Australia in, as I say, 5 weeks off the accident. And then I was picked up at the airport and taken to Shenton Park Spinal Unit, which George Bedbrook, who was the founder of PBF, actually was a main motivator and very main instigator to have that spinal rehabilitation centre created. And then I spent 5 months lying in bed. I had a pressure wound in my sacrum, which with a spinal injury, with the proper care, you're supposed to be turned every 2 hours to avoid pressure wounds. But in the Greek hospitals, they didn't do that. They turned me once a day. So I ended up with a pressure wound in my sacrum, not a huge one, but that still took 5 months for that to heal up because of the lack of circulation due to the paralysis. My life pretty much, as I say, in seconds changed. Financially, you know, that situation changed dramatically in seconds as well. And it's a type of injury that doesn't go away. They haven't found a cure for a spinal cord injury, permanent spinal cord injury. And one of the sad issues of this type of injury is that along with it comes a lot of health issues. Like pressure wounds is very much high on the list. I'd say pretty much number one. And I know of people that have spent from 12 months to 24 months lying in bed, that's 24/7, waiting for a pressure wound to heal. Bladder infections are common. I get maybe 3 or 4 a year. I intermittent catheterize. One with the paralysis as well, you can't, your normal body functions dramatically change, so you can't do your ablutions the way you used to. And in my case, you know, to empty my bladder, I've got to use a catheter. Some people don't have, I use an intermittent catheter, but some people have to have an indwelling catheter permanently. It's tough. And like I say, one of the biggest issues with one of these injuries is the ongoing health issues that just never seem to go away. I look back at my accident and I can honestly say, prior to my accident, I would have put myself in the risk taker category. I wasn't an extreme risk taker by any means, but I grew up in South Africa, as you can tell, and from a very young age, I started surfing and taking risks wasn't such a big issue for me. The working culture, when I started working at 16. I started working on a forestry for a forestry company back in South Africa. And the working culture just didn't exist. We didn't have inductions. We didn't have regulations and legislation. And so, you know, that type of attitude kind of grows on you like a second skin, taking a chance, sort of taking... For example, the night that I fell, firstly, I shouldn't have been sitting on that cap rail. And secondly, I had my girlfriend, who was at teetotaler. She didn't drink, and a lot of people were drinking. I wasn't by no means inebriated. I'd had maybe 3 or 4 beers. But she actually was concerned about me sitting on the cap rail and came across and suggested that she gets me a seat to sit on, because I was actually cooking some meat on a barbecue hanging on the back of the boat. And I laughed that off. And 15 minutes later, I was a paraplegic for the rest of the life. And that played it. When I think back to that, that was my attitude, you know. I was always prepared to, you know, that I was your typical kind of alpha male. And when I worked in the fishing industry on this coast, and in many of the other industries, I worked in the construction industry in London for quite a long time. You know, I can honestly say that the sort of alpha male, you know, I don't break attitude, take a risk, is very prominent. And it's only when an accident like this happens that it all kind of, you know, condenses, and you start to realise, in hindsight, you know, if I'd only sort of been a bit more cautious, or only been a bit more safety conscious, maybe this wouldn't have happened. If I'd only just listened to my girlfriend and got off that cap rail and sat on a chair, which she offered to go and get, you know, I'd most probably be delivering yachts in the Caribbean today. So yeah. It's
that is such a fascinating story. I'm sitting here just absolutely shocked. And thank you for coming on and sharing that story, because it's just, you know, something that's so overlooked. You know, sitting on the side of a boat, I've done it, not near concrete, but even, you know, over water, that sort of thing. I've climbed up multiple ladders trying to get things in sheds. Haven't even really thought about that before. And I'm sure, you know, there's so many listeners out there that have gone, you know, it only takes a very slight step back, and sometimes in... you know, just half a foot. I mean, my mother-in-law just fell off the top of her roof trying to prune fruit trees, and she fell back. She fell back almost 3 meters from the top of her head, hit the concrete, and she was lucky, lives by herself, and she broke 2 vertebrae, but she didn't actually much damage. She still had broken vertebrae, and she was in a full neck brace for 6 months. So, you know, these sorts of things, it just happens so quickly, as you just said, just seconds, and it can, you know, it can change your life. I just think it's so important that, you know, people are aware and they start talking about it more. And, you know, that was at home, and that was only, you know, 7 months ago. So in the workplace, as you said, you know, you've seen that very much alpha male attitude, and how times have sort of changed with regulation and that sort of thing. But the accidents still definitely happen. So I might pass over to Marie now. Obviously, you know, being in farming, we see lots of injuries. Can you just elaborate a little bit on the biggest, what would you think the biggest injury would be in Australia, Marie, in farming?
Thanks, Jess, and thanks very much for sharing that, Mike. Wow. I'll just share some statistics. In Australia, there are around 200 to 600 presentations to health centres or hospitals, rural and otherwise. So that means it's about 400 a month, and they're the ones that we know about. And we all hear stories of many injuries that probably are not reported. The cost of direct and indirect injury to Australia annually is about $60 billion. That's a significant impact to our Australian economy. Direct and indirect costs, so think physio, think OT, think surgery, think ambulance, and all the emergency services, and then the repercussions of insurance or not, and going through those sorts of claims. There are around 107,000 serious claims per year, and most people have about 6 weeks out of action through lost time, or, as Mike has mentioned, several months or even years at times. There are many people, we would all probably know of someone who has had an accident, either jumping off something, falling off something with an auger, with a header, and it all takes a lot of time and toll that we don't sometimes think about. And as Mike mentioned, I think it's about attitude. Of those serious claims, those 107,000 claims, they're around $11,300 per claim, but some can go up into the six and seven figure sums. So again, I'll ask everybody just to really think about, what are you putting at risk and what are the consequences of injury? We sometimes don't always stop and think, what would happen if I was the first responder to an accident? Do I know what to do? Is my first aid up to date? Or if the people you're working with are the first responders and you have the accident, do they know what to do? So in 2018, with the Safe Work Australia statistics, it's actually really positive that the number of deaths have gone down to be about 11 per 100,000 in Australia in the industry, which has resulted in about 37 deaths. We've lost two this year in Western Australia. And unfortunately, to clarify your comment and question, Jess, it's quad bikes. So quad bikes, people are making a choice, and WorkSafe ask us all to choose the right vehicle for the task and the job at hand. I know quad bikes are very handy and very easy to use. However, they do appear to be the cause of some very serious accidents and tragically fatalities. So in Western Australia, that's two families that won't have a loved one at Christmas.
Quad bikes, definitely a dangerous piece of equipment, and it just the, you know, two a year in Western Australia this year. It's just so sad. But I know industry has been working really hard to overcome on-farm safety with these initiatives and workshops. Can you tell us, or tell me a little bit, what Safe Farms is doing to promote workshops in Western Australia?
We've been very fortunate, certainly this year, and it's been a build-up since I've been on and involved with Safe Farms WA, is that we've run around 25 workshops this year, and generally we're invited to come along to speak at a seminar or run a workshop. And while I say 25, that's 25, and it could be for 15 minutes or it could be for a day. And some of those workshops have been about chemical safety training, non-accredited, however, introductions to the use of chemicals, how to read a safety data sheet, how to read a label, and what personal protective equipment you actually might need. And then we've got the other workshops. So even Quaker Oats invited us to come along. Mirresk Institute have been very, very helpful this year in supporting Safe Farms to go along to special days, say, held by the Libby Group up in Del Wallonew, or WIFE, Women in Farming Enterprises, along with Compass Agriculture down at Boyup Brook, and even the Kimberley Pilbara Cattlemen's Association, so the KPCA. I was up there last week in Broome attending their conference, but also got to speak to 80 very dedicated people the day before.
No, that's great. So it's all about getting out and about and just really talking about safety on farms and in regional communities, not just on farm. It's all linked. So how can members easily access PBF and Safe Farms to get the information, and how would they go about organising a workshop in their area? Katie?
Thanks for the question, Jess. So Safe Farms members or WA Farmers members can contact PBF through myself at my email, kstokes@pbf.asn.au, or on my mobile, 0481946454, to discuss questions they have on PBF membership, as well as the prices per year. The most it is for a private member is only $90 per year. That covers the person, their partner, and any amount of children up to the age of 18. It's a really valuable service, and it's, again, 24/7 protection. So please do give me a call if you've got any questions. We're also very happy to be part of any publications you send through to your members so that they know more about PBF and can have that information via your website with the PBF information there. Any open days that you're hosting, any conferences or field days that we can go down to, we're happy to travel at reasonably close by, not too far, depending on what we're going to be doing, if it's for a few days. But we're very open to working with the regional community because we know that regional areas have the most risk. There's not necessarily anybody around. For example, one story that we have of a farmer, it was a gentleman that had a co-worker with him, but he sent that co-worker away because they forgot a piece of equipment that they needed to do the job. And he'd been farming for several years, so he knew he'd been up and down that grain silo, knew it like the back of his hand, so he didn't even think about safety or protocols, procedures, having a first responder on site, for example, if anything did happen. So he decided to climb up the silo as he'd done for many years, and unfortunately, he had no harness for protection or anything to break a fall. He fell that day, and that's how he became a permanent paraplegic, and his life changed forever. So we know that there is very high susceptibility of risk in those remote areas, regional areas, particularly driving as well. Marie mentioned quad bikes. The number one cause of spinal cord injuries is vehicle related. It's 42% of spinal cord injuries each year. And over 50% of the WA presenters, like Mike, are vehicle related, whether it was fatigue, distraction, drug and alcohol or substance abuse, or somebody unfortunately hitting that person. So another person's actions, as Mike mentioned earlier, you know, you can't predict people around you. They may not be as safety conscious, or you yourself just might not be in that mindset thinking about what you're doing at the time of the incident. So any way that we can speak to people or get referrals from members, we're very, very much happy to engage with your community and the members that you have. One last factor about PBF and how your members may come across us. Mike is actually doing a solo sail for safety next year. He's starting in Fremantle Ports, going all the way up to Port Hedland.
Going
across 9 different ports. And if your members are in those areas, we are actually going to try to encourage people to attend because they can hear Mike share his story very similar to what he did today, as well as be there to answer any questions one-on-one. And we'll have PBF membership information or other services on PBF available at the time of those days that Mike will be sailing.
We might even come up and meet you up there. That would be really great to watch you present, Mike, and hear your story again.
Thanks very much, Jess. Would like to remind people that they can register at the website www.safefarms.net.au. And a parting comment, since 2001, 1,456 people have lost their lives on a farm due to a non-intentional injury. Please, everybody, as we lead up to Christmas, don't become a statistic. Stay safe, everyone.
I just want to leave a last comment. There's a word called mindfulness, or being mindful, and there's two interpretations to being mindful. There's one that you've got problems at home, or you've got financial issues, or you know, you've had some argument or something disturbed you, and you go to work or you go to the workplace with your mind full of that, and you're not concentrating on what you're doing. You're preoccupied with whatever trauma is happening or drama is happening in your life. And this is very much a cause of many of the accidents that happen. And there's another interpretation of mindfulness, and that's going to work or going to the workplace and leaving all that stuff behind and concentrating on the machinery or the dangerous stuff that is flying around you, being conscious of what you're doing, and leave that until you knock off at the end of the day and take it home with you. Don't take it to work with you.
Wonderful. Thanks for that. If you want to get in touch with PBF or Safe Farms, please just contact us here at the WA Farmers or visit wafarmers.org.au, where we can provide more information on both organisations. Thank you all very much for coming in today and having a chat to me about something that is just so important. It's such an important topic and it's not going away. And the more we talk about it and we get more awareness out there, is so important. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments on this week's podcast, you can get involved through social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WA Farmers. See you next week.